My, how times have changed. Because, you know, in Sports Illustrated, reported the amazing comeback victory of the Buffalo Bills over the now defunct Houston Oilers to beat them after being down by 32 points in the second half in their 1993 NFL playoff game. They said it was such a comeback, it beat the tremendous comeback of Harry Truman's upset win over Thomas Dewey in the 1948 presidential race. But they admitted it still didn't come close to the history's greatest comeback of how Jesus came back from the grave. Can you imagine a sports magazine carrying a story like that today? And they got it right, too, because they defined a comeback as something people would like to have happen, but they have no expectation of at all. And on that first Easter morning, some 2,000 plus years ago, there was no expectation at all. Those women on their way to the tomb, they weren't going expecting a miracle. They were going to mourn a friend who hadn't just died. He'd been publicly executed as a common criminal. Why, he'd even had a spear run through his side to make sure he was dead before he could be taken down off the cross. So there was no expectation at all. And when he died, all hope died. To Jesus' followers, it was game over. But then Luke 24, verses 1 through 6 say that the women took the spices they'd prepared. They went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly, two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. And in their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen." Leading Jesus' disciples to all proclaim, "He is risen. He lives. He lives." As Jesus' resurrection is supported by all kinds of evidence, even eyewitness accounts. Eyewitness accounts. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 through 8 says, "Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day, again, according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Peter and then to the 12, and after that he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time." Now, you know, back then, I don't want to break it to you ladies, but it was only the men that counted. So there were probably women and children there as well. So it wasn't just 500 that he appeared to. It may have been 1,500, 2,000 that he appeared to all at once. But it goes on, it says, "Most of them are still living, though some have fallen asleep." But then he appeared to James, and then to all the apostles. And Paul said, "Last of all, he appeared to me." These were amazing eyewitness accounts of the risen Christ that God used to inspire Jesus' disciples to go forth and proclaim Jesus' love. At times, against some pretty tough odds, and to their death. And so that raises the question of what was it about Jesus' resurrection that so impacted them that they could do that? And even more, what's the importance of Jesus' resurrection to you and me today? Well, one answer, clearly from the pages of Scripture, is that Jesus' resurrection shows that Jesus is who he claimed to be, God's Messiah, and even God himself. Because the Old Testament, throughout it says, God's the only one who can take and give life. And Jesus said he was going to lay down his life and then take it back up again. Matthew 16, 21. He explained this to his disciples, that he must go to Jerusalem, suffer many things at the hands of the elders, the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. Clearly, the entire New Testament is based on this premise, that Jesus is the living, reigning master of all creation. He is humanity's only Savior, the exalted head of the church, who deserves to be trusted, worshiped, and adored. And someday he'll return in power to completely conquer all the spiritual powers of darkness, to be the Lord of glory, to reign over both the spiritual and the earthly realms. Because when Romans 1:4 says, through the Spirit of holiness, Jesus was declared with power to be the Son of God by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. It means that God used Jesus' resurrection to announce to the world, again, to all the spiritual, all the earthly, to announce that Jesus was and is his chosen Messiah. As all the Jews in Jesus' day would have known, referring to him as the Son of God, the Son of Man, those were messianic titles, messianic titles. He was God's promised Savior for his people. And you know, that's a truth that flies in the face of those who want to believe that religion is like going out to Red Apple Buffet to eat. And I know that sounds like a pretty strange comparison, right? But you know, a lot of people believe religion is something where you just get to pick, choose those things that are spiritually appetizing to you. I mean, they tell themselves, you know, religion's a personal thing. And so that they can accept, reject, or just ignore any of those beliefs that they don't like so that they can put together what they do want to believe, their own set of beliefs. And granted, you know, as far as religious freedom goes, people can, this nation, believe and worship what they want. Except truth is not a matter of taste or preference, is it? Mm-mm. So regardless of those who just want to reject Jesus' claim that he makes in John 14:6, when he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. And, you know, wanting to say that, you know, all those other faiths like Islam and Buddhism and Hinduism, they're just all different paths to God. Well, no. It's not true. The validity of Jesus' assertion, is based on the fact of his resurrection, the historical fact of his death and resurrection. It shows that he is who he claimed to be, the only way to God. And he's able to do the other things he promised as well, to give those who place their faith in him eternal life, that he can be with you and will never forsake you once you place your faith in him. You know, he's virtually unknown here in the West, but Hungary's Lutheran bishop, Lajos Vadas, his courage of conviction under both the Nazis and the communists has inspired thousands of believers throughout Europe. His biography, came out about a decade after he died in 1978. And he wrote specifically about his time in prison under the communists. They wanted to break his spirit. And so they put him in solitary confinement. They cut him off from all human contact. And this is what he wrote. They thought I was alone. They were wrong. The risen Christ was present with me in that cell. And in communion with him, I was able to prevail. Isn't it comforting? Isn't it reassuring to know that your faith in Jesus anyway, isn't based on just a good feeling? It isn't based on just a good guess. The reality of Jesus' resurrection gives substance to your faith. The fact that Jesus lives and is with you gives you the ability to face life's toughest storms. Jesus said he'd be with you throughout them, and he has the power to keep his word. Of course, another answer as to why Jesus' resurrection makes all the difference is because his resurrection changed the meaning of death forever. It changed the meaning of death. 1 Corinthians 15:54-56 says, death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, you know, Romans 4:25 adds this. It says, Jesus was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. You put those passages together, and they explain that sin is the sting of death, and sin is what makes death scary. But when Jesus went to the cross, he took that sting away. How? Well, think of it this way. Scripture says that God is going to punish everyone that hurt you in life. He's going to punish everyone who did things outside of his will. You know, that thing called Judgment Day? Well, here's the thing. Once a person dies, he's not able to do anything about his sin. He's not able to try and make it up or anything like that. Once he dies, it's over with. And he definitely will face punishment, right? No ands, ifs, buts about it. But the early church understood Romans 4:25 to mean God showed the world that he not only approved of Jesus' sacrifice of himself, he accepted it. He accepted it as the penalty people deserve for their sin. And he did that by resurrecting Jesus from the grave. Because on the flip side, if God hadn't accepted Jesus' sacrifice of himself, he'd still be in the tomb. He'd still be in the tomb. And since justification is a fancy $10 word, it was a legal term that means to declare somebody not guilty. What this says is that God declares those who place their faith in Jesus not guilty of their sin. And once people are no longer guilty of their sin, there's no reason for God to punish them. No reason at all. Come Judgment Day. So as a result, there's no more sting to death. There's no more reason to fear it. Because when you die, you won't face that judgment that you deserve for your sin. Death is no longer scary. As Jesus promised the thief on the cross, remember that story. He said, as the thief placed his faith in Jesus, you'll soon join me in paradise. That death leads to paradise for believers. And while the resurrection shows that Jesus is a promise keeper, he said he'd lay down his life. And again, pick it up, and he did. And he would rise in 3 days. 1 Corinthians 15, 20-24 says, believers can be confident of sharing in Jesus' resurrection. That because he lives, you too can live when your faith is in Christ to be with him for eternity in paradise. As Paul wrote there, Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who've fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. But each in his own turn, Christ the first fruits, then when he comes, those who belong to him. Then the end will come, when he hands over the kingdom to God, the Father, after he's destroyed all dominion, authority, and power, meaning all evil. Meaning, because he lives again, you too shall live when you've placed your faith in Jesus. And that's the question. Have you? His victory turned death into a doorway to a new beginning. As you step from this world, it's crumbling, bound to wear away, to a paradise, a place that Paul described as no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no human mind has even conceived of. That's what God has promised those who love him. A truth that points us to another answer as to why the resurrection is so important. That it not only changed the meaning of death, it changes the meaning of life. It changes the meaning of life. Because when Paul claimed that if Christ hadn't been resurrected, in the passage that we read earlier from 1 Corinthians 15, 17-19. Then he said, if he hasn't been resurrected, we ought to feel sorry for those Christians who foolishly placed their faith in him. But since his resurrection, his comeback, is a fact and not a fiction, The real implication of what Paul was saying was, because Jesus did come back, we ought to congratulate those Christians for everything they've gained in Jesus, for everything they've gained. We should envy them because they get to share in Jesus' victory over death. And of course, Hebrews, chapters 7 through 9, but specifically in chapter 7, verse 25, it says, we have a high priest in Christ who lives forever. He has a permanent priesthood. Therefore, he's able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them. Now, that means a couple things. Number one, when you've placed your faith in Jesus, it's good for eternity. It isn't like you're in heaven for 10,000 years and all of a sudden God says, well, your time is up. No, you've placed your faith in Jesus. You're in paradise for eternity. But this passage also says that God hears the prayers and answers the prayers of those who have placed their faith in Jesus. God intervenes in their lives to help them through life's hardships. And note how Paul concluded his argument about the importance of Jesus' resurrection. Again, in 1 Corinthians 15:58, he said, always give yourselves fully to the work of our Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Think about what that means. That because Jesus lives, he reigns forever as king, all creation. Then what that says is that all of a believer's obedience, striving to do the right thing, all of a believer's love for others, all a believer's kindness he shows the hurting, every time he reaches out in the name of Christ to others, all of the things that he denies himself in order to be able to help others, all of the suffering that he might endure in order to stay true to Jesus, all of his service, everything he does for the Lord, it's going to count. It won't be in vain. It'll be worth it. None of it'll be wasted. Something Jesus compared to storing up treasure in heaven, where he will reward believers, administering his grace, and making use of all that he gives them. 2 Corinthians 4, 17 and 18, Paul wrote, for our light and momentary problems are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. And think about that. Isn't that something everybody longs for? Doesn't everybody hope that in his twilight years he'll be able to look back and say, you know, my life has meant something. It's counted. It's made a difference. I've had an impact. That's the question. Is that what you want to be able to do? Well, Jesus' promise is you will make a difference when you place your faith in him. Because Ephesians 2:10 says, because you'll find that you become God's workmanship. God's workmanship created in Christ to do good works which God prepared in advance for you to do. So that's it. You want your life to count? Put your faith in Jesus. Some of you remember the TV series Touched by an Angel. It ran for 9 years, and I guess it's still in reruns since 2003 when it went off the air. Well, Martha Williamson was the producer of it, and she freely shares that at one time she thought religion was just a joke. There was a youth ministry called Reach Out, decided they needed a professional touch to their Easter production 1 year, and they hired her to direct it. Well, she did that. And she said she was frustrated. She's written about this. She said, I was frustrated directing these people because every time you turned around, they were stopping to pray. They'd pray before the rehearsal. They'd pray after rehearsal. During the middle of prayer, the play, they'd be rehearsing. They'd blow some line or whatever. They would stop and pray. They were always praying. It was making me crazy. And as they rehearsed, her testimony was all she was doing is just moving bodies across the stage, looking for that dramatic effect. But then finally came the night of the actual performance, when a director's job is basically just to sit back and watch and see if they're doing it right. And she said she stood at the back of the arena where the production was going on. For the first time, she finally watched it and put it all together. And she said the words finally hit her like a ton of bricks. They were talking about somebody who died 2,000 years ago, and yet he lived. And he was right here with me in this room. And she said it was at that moment I got it. It was then that she prayed and asked Christ into her life. How about you? Do you get it? Believing in Jesus, believing in his resurrection, changes everything. Because it proves he is who he claimed to be. And then he can keep his promise to open up the gates of heaven for you. It's changed the meaning of death forever. You don't need to worry about judgment when you've placed your faith in him. And it changes the meaning of life. Because everything you do for Jesus will count. As Paul said, Christ has indeed been raised from the dead. Believe it, and it will change you too. Let's pray.